Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. Gentlemen, we have new Star Trek today. It is a glorious day. The sun is shining. Or maybe that's Mars. I don't know. But, too soon. But no, I am joined with Philip and Daniel as we are going to be talking about Star Trek Picard, aptly named, and the pilot. Could you call it a pilot? I mean, it's the first episode, but it wasn't like double length like we're used to. But it was called Remembrance. And boy, is there a lot to remember. So I hope you all took notes. But gentlemen, welcome to our first new show since Discovery. Very, very excited to talk about this. And just for initial impressions. Daniel, what were your initial thoughts on this? Is it two data thumbs up? Is there a saucer separation happening? Are you ready to jump back into the bosom of Discovery? I mean, where are we at?
I don't know that. I don't really know what would have happened for me to do that, but I don't think this was that. I don't know. Honestly, it's a really weird feeling. Like, there's a lot that I like, and of course we'll get into all. But there's a lot that I liked, and I have some concerns and some weird omissions. But we'll get into it. So really, I feel conflicted. I feel confused.
Hopeful?
And a little hopeful. Yeah, a little bit hopeful, for sure. I really am just in this weird middle ground of like, okay, that's a thing. Like, and again, there's pieces that I'm like, really, hey, that's awesome. And then there's pieces that I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's what we're doing now. But yeah, so I'm kind of in this nebulous. I feel like I don't have enough of it yet. I don't.
Yeah, so maybe after like three episodes, when we've kind of gotten a little more of a bite, it might stabilize a bit.
No, I think
that's fair. That's fair. It's only, I mean, hey, if they had a double length pilot, we probably could have answered all those questions, but they didn't.
Exactly.
Philip, what was your initial response, or are you Philip or his twin brother? Philip and Dilip. Oh man, that's perfect.
I was actually told we weren't going to talk about that subject today. I'm here to talk about the anniversary of Voyager again for another week. These are not the questions we agreed to beforehand, Darren. I'll just have to remember the co-host that I used to be. That's what you're expecting from me.
Well, congratulations on your acceptance to the Daystrom Institute of Doctor Who, I guess, or something like that.
No. Well, I will be in contrast to Daniel. I really enjoyed it. I really did. It there is a different feel to it, and kind of what you were saying, Daniel, like, not in a bad way, but it almost did feel like we just went halfway through. Like, I mean, it leaves you wanting more, right? But, and, you know, it didn't end with, like, you know, and Discovery did the same thing. You know, it had a very unconventional beginning, right? You know, the two episode, and then it isn't the third episode you actually see Discovery, you know. So, but with this, it just felt like this was the first half of the pilot. You know, I'm like, you know, there wasn't like, oh, now we're going into space on a mission, or, you know, it ends on a cliffhanger, which is fine. I'm just saying, but so I did. You know, we're still on Earth. You know, there's no, we haven't gone anywhere. Sort of like, I guess, the dream of Enterprise, right? That we're just really going slow, which I don't have a problem with at all. Because especially when it's, you know, on All Access, you know, it's going to come out every week. It's not like it's going to get canceled or anything. You already know it has two seasons. And so, but it was very, I mean, the prison is probably going to be overly used. Very cinematic to me. But it did have a thing where it was taking its time. And I like that. And obviously we're going to talk about all the things we got to enjoy when it took its time and all the details and all that stuff. So I enjoyed it a lot. And you didn't ask this question, but, like, you know, when I compare it to different pilots, much like the Discovery start, it's a different feeling to it. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, it's better than, you know, Caretaker. It's, you know, and it's because it's so, it's a different, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It feels like, Yeah, I see what you're saying, Philip. It does have, it's like we got two parts. We got a lot of establishment, like where are we in the universe right now? You know, what's been going on lately? And then we also get the inciting incident with, you know, with Dodge and the spark of this new adventure. But we didn't get like the third part, which like you're saying, like the crew getting together or like what he's going to do about it or like that didn't happen. And, you know, maybe if we'd had a 2-hour pilot or something, we would have gotten farther. I expect we'll be there by the end of next episode, I'm hoping. But I definitely overall, though, I enjoyed it. I think I don't know if I went in with high expectations or low expectations or, you know, just to enjoy it. And I did. I really think, man, just Patrick Stewart is just an amazing actor and just really, you know, brings a lot of nuance to this character that we all know, but in a new way. And I'm just excited for, you know, him to go on another adventure, you know, for him to come out of retirement, to get off that couch, leave the vineyard and go back. And yeah, no, but overall, I really enjoyed it. I felt it was a good start. That's why I said it didn't feel like a pilot. It felt just like chapter one. Like this, like they don't need to sell us on this first episode because they know they already got us. So they're just going to start telling chapter one and then next week we'll get chapter two.
Yeah. And I made fun of Discovery of trying to sell us that thing. But I think it does feel that way. You know, you just started the book, chapter one, cliffhanger, and then, okay, chapter two, whereas and again, this isn't a bash Discovery episode by any means, but it's just different. You had this prologue, two episodes of a prologue, and then you got into the book in chapter one, in the third episode, so it's a little different.
And Discovery also had the first episode aired on CBS, you know, to get people booked on the platform.
Yeah.
A little different.
Streaming. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's get into the episode. We start with a dream on the Enterprise D.
Never saw the sun.
Man, like, they're just hitting nostalgia buttons left, right, and center. You know, you have, Blue Skies playing. You have Data and Picard and 10 Forward. You have, but things are kind of different. Like, one, Data's in a First Contact uniform, and this is not the Enterprise E, so things are already kind of amiss.
Okay, so my theory about
it was a dream, Daniel.
No, but hang on. They got to mean something.
Okay. Dreams have to be canon.
That's a whole nother... Psychoanalyze it, Daniel. Give it to us.
That is a whole nother piece of wardrobe that somebody had to build for Brent to get into. So I have a theory.
Do we have extra, extra large?
Theory, okay. I think I understand, and probably...
Come on.
I was thinking that, of course, it's just another bit of nostalgia. That's an easy answer. That's why they did it. You can have two new Datas in for the price of one.
True.
That's my real life explanation. I was also thinking that it could be because that was the last time Picard saw Data.
Yeah.
Or how he last saw Data.
I think it's more the second.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense then. You can't justify.
There were five queens, Daniel. Five queens, and they were all hearts.
Explain
that. Doesn't make any sense.
Is that? Well, I don't know. What do you guys? Is that?
Sometimes a playing card is just a playing card.
That's true. I wasn't reading into it any more than it was proving that this was not real.
I think Data's a cheater, and he always has been in poker.
got that tell when that's not a tell.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't know if. If it's, I kind of fell into that same camp of part two, like you said, Daniel, of that's the last time Picard saw him was wearing that. When he was last alive.
And potentially from a viewer standpoint, a cinema chat, like at multiple levels, the cinematography,
they were
the
near
director.
A star, guys. Did you know that they were near a star? Because.
No, they were near Mars.
Well, later they were near Mars.
Mars.
Yeah, that's true.
But as from a thematic standpoint, a visual thematic standpoint, we save Data in the TNG uniform for when Picard's in the TNG uniform for a parallel visual structure. you know, that's a theory. I mean, I you know, you're sort of like, you're going to see Data like, oh, we're going to save it. You're going to see it. Don't worry.
That's true.
And then he's in, you know. But
there's something about next-gen Data in the vineyard that was special.
Also, there was almost a domestic 5 seconds into the episode in our household because, you know, you have the blue skies and then you have the D appearing and the wife's like, so, but like, why are you talking, Turing? I'm like, I'm pausing at what? What is your question? And she's like, oh, I mean, and then I'm like, all right, let me restart it. She's like, you're not going to restart it. I'm like,
I'm totally going to restart it. It's the Enterprise D flying through a nebula in glorious HD.
Yeah, that was beautiful. It was. I mean, that opening shot, that whole sequence until we get to.
Was that basically them saying, you know, I don't think we've had enough HD Enterprise created that people can enjoy. Let's do some more.
Well, I did like...
This is UHD now.
I know we're only going into like the first 10 seconds of the show already, but Darren, I know you said
that's
you watched...
That's what we do, Philip.
Well, this is going to be a long podcast then. But I know, Darren, you said you watched The Ready Room with Will Wheaton. I thought an interesting, again, visual connective tissue of why they explained why they opened it up that way is because that's how TNG ended on TV.
They ended TNG.
With the Enterprise, you know, in space, and so then we're connecting
and playing poker.
Yes.
They ended up playing poker, and they start playing poker on the D, which it rhymes. It makes, it's, I mean, again, it's very thoughtful. It's a very thoughtful show so far. Like, they know what they're doing. Like, they don't hit the nostalgia button too hard. Like, it's there, definitely. But
yeah, I thought the part where, like, the Borg nodule came out of his cheek during the poker episode, and then he woke up, and then it was a dream. So I thought it was too on the nose. We've done that before.
The moment, and I don't know how far we want to go, but the moment where Data, like right before the
Mars attack,
hell breaks loose, basically, Data, it's very ominous. It looks
Data
Data's
looks really upset the entire time.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're trying to say there, but
that's true
because
he says, you know, why are you stalling? And then that's when right there's when the tone shifts, and then Picard's kind of like, I don't want the game to end, and then. You know, he's like, I thought he was going to say like it never ends, but no, then you have the destruction of Mars and blows out the windows, which I don't think would happen, but hey, it's a dream.
And if you really want to get into the metaphorical writing, and of course that's what I do for now, it's my, you know, he's putting all of his chips in Picard. Mm. And, you know, what's this a symbol for? Is it for the... As we learn later, the thing about the Romulan fleet, putting all his chips into that, or is it putting all his chips into resigning from Starfleet, hoping that'll change everything? Or, you know, there's a lot going on. So far, I'm enjoying the writing and the. Everything.
There's lots of layers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Picard, he wakes up. It's all a dream. We get some beautiful shots of, Chateau Picard with Number One. You know, so far, we're just on the ride. And, it's just it feels just futury enough. You know, you have the floating, you know, machines tending the vineyards, but you also have people, and you know, it doesn't feel like, you know, super space force action movie. Huh. You know, it's Star Trek. It's, you know, it's Earth. It's very comfortable. And then we get our number one main character besides Picard. We get Daj, who's in Greater Boston, which tons of little Easter eggs in there. I think someone pointed out later that there's a Cassidy Yates sign. So apparently her shipping business is doing very well in the future, I guess.
Might be the Suns at this point. Who knows?
That's true. That's true. We saw some Ferengi symbols, like very, very cool. And yeah, she's going to be a fellow at the Danestim Institute in artificial intelligence and quantum consciousness.
So can I ask a quick question? Has it ever been established where Daystrom Institute is, or is this for the first time saying it's in Okinawa?
I don't know if it's ever been established where it is, but yeah, so it's in Japan, right?
Right.
Okinawa.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's a cool thing of, you know, they're like looking it up. Have we ever said where it is? No. Okay, well, let's make it up. I mean, that's a cool opportunity when you're doing this.
Yeah, it's based in Okinawa, I guess. Yeah, I don't think they'd ever, this is the first time that, like you said, that they've put a dot on the map, as it were. But yeah, so she's, you know, they're making jokes about wine and replicators and all sorts of stuff. And then, boom, she's getting born identity'd. And they're coming in. We have these, you know, masked figures are beaming in. They stab the boyfriend. They're shooting at her. They're questioning her. And then she activates and goes all, you know, Firefly on them and just kicks their butts. And they throw in words like being activated and others. And it's all really going bound. But then basically she, as she mourns her boyfriend, she gets this kind of snap vision of Picard. And we're like, what is going on here?
I thought it was interesting, again, from, and maybe this is how I view things now that I'm writing more, but Picard, or Star Trek Picard, the show, or at least this one episode, you know, and comparing it to Discovery, sorry, I'm not trying to do it about, just, these are the two modern Treks I have to choose from, okay, Discovery.
Is this her mutiny moment? Is that what we're getting?
Well, I was just saying, because this, per se, and I don't know, it's just one episode, but this, per se, isn't an action episode, because Picard, and we don't know what'll happen, but, you know, he's an older gentleman.
He's running.
Yeah, but, you know, so, but also because the modern audience, and I'm hand quoting for those listening, obviously, you know, wants an action. I mean, I don't, but they do. And so, but the Raj character provides all the action. I mean, you know, they're stunt.
I mean, the Dodge character.
Yeah, Dodge, that she's doing all of the action. So that Picard.
That's
doesn't
true.
Have
can
to.
Just say all the good lines.
Yeah. And so she's providing any action that you want. You know, if that's your thing. You're going to get it from this character, and then he can just be the Picard that, you know, is Picarding.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, this is probably the weakest part for me, because I don't need ninja robot ladies. I'm fine with, like, the idea that she is some crazy robot and she can fight super well.
Daniel,
but it just feels
she is
like,
not a robot.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We will get into that. But, like, it's just, like you said, Philip, to me, like, it comes across as pandering almost. Like, we don't need to see this crazy robot ninja lady. I would have been fine with no fight scenes in this whole episode. But, like, even if she, like, got activated or whatever and just slowly lumbered around and beat everybody up, that would work better for me, especially as a data kind of thing.
She definitely killed a lot of people. I mean, so there's a high death toll in this episode. But
but
anyways.
Yeah. So we cut back to Chateau Picard. We have, you know,
Darren, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm just because I've just mentioned Discovery and this action,
not
aka violence.
Time, but yes,
and violence. But just from this episode alone, because I know there was blood and there was violence, just on this episode alone, do you think you could show this to your kids, or do you think, because you need Discovery's to adult, so what are you seeing so far from at least the first episode of Picard?
I mean, overall, I mean, probably the most violent parts are like the boyfriend getting stabbed in the chest and the guy exploding.
Right.
But I probably wouldn't, just because I would want to go through TNG first. You know, it's like, again, not that I wouldn't say this is an adult Star Trek, but it's not for kids. We're not really there, at least how young mine are. But
yeah, because I mean, just as a, you know, as we talked about Discovery and any Star Trek, and I'm sorry, I'm deviating, and I'll shut up here. But like, because as we all, most of us discovered Star Trek as children, you know, you always want the new series to be accessible to how you were, you know, and that was just a thought.
I will probably find a few gem episodes.
I hate if it isn't accessible, obviously.
Yeah, no, I mean, I will probably find one or two episodes this season that would be okay with them watching. But, there's other stuff for us to watch right now. And it's not like it's something they couldn't enjoy in their teens or something like that.
Okay.
So, so we're back in, you know, France. We get, and it's cool, we meet the two Romulan refugees who are his housekeepers, who are, like, so sweet. And like,
let's talk about them.
Oh, man.
I love those guys. And they're great.
So we have Laris
and not
Zabran.
Sorry, go ahead.
So Laris and Zaban. And it's like, it's one of those things where they're not in a ton of shots, but what we get of them just speaks like you said, Danny, we want to know their story. Like, they are super interesting. And obviously, they're choosing to care for Picard and, you know, take you know, care of his estate and stuff like that. And they're, but they just seem like, you know, and they mention it, you know, they seem like they're partially doing it out of a sense of duty for what he tried to do for their people. And as others have pointed out since this episode aired, it's also a really interesting, like, third scene of the show of, hey, Romulans are living in Picard's house. Like, that's the Klingon on the bridge. That's the times have changed and the galaxy has changed and is different from when you last remember.
And then,
and these Romulans are not, it's the first real Romulan characters maybe ever.
No wood. That we've gone. They're all people. They're just, they have,
they're all, it's just, they're just hanging out and they're
cool. Anybody harms awesome. Them, I swear. This adorable couple.
Well, the, and just as a, my glass is pushing up here, they're both in the comic, in the Countdown to Picard or whatever. I'm like, you know, I didn't know until I watched the episode, but I'm like, oh, because I think they knew the actors because the guy's like, oh, that's him.
They looks just like him. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. So
do they? Is it like an introduction or are they just?
No, there's an introduction there because if really quickly, Admiral Picard is on a ship. He goes down to the planet to rescue Romulans. They find out there's native life forms, like an insurrection time kind of thing. And he's like, well, we need the natives too. And the Romulans are like, no, just us. And fast forward that these two people are actually helping take care of the natives and are trying to get them. So they're sort of the good guys of the
they're
story.
They're good Romulans.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Gomulans. Okay. But yeah, we learned about them. And Picard's getting ready for his interview with the most hated character of the episode so far, the FMN interviewer.
Not the guy that stabbed the boyfriend? Wow. God,
no,
dude,
no, she broke her promise. She promised not to talk about him leaving Starfleet. And it's like question number four.
And then it's like she asked Jean-Luc to show where Romulus is on the map. And that's just, you know, don't do that.
Oh, wow.
That's just, man.
But yeah, but it was also, you know, like we were talking a little before the recording, I feel like I like how we're kind of in the middle of this story. You know, there's a lot that happened in the past with the destruction of Romulus, and we're not started with a flashback scene like it all spelled out. You know what I mean? We have to figure out, okay, well, what's going on here and why is this? And even this interview isn't extremely helpful. I mean, it gives us more information for sure. But there's still a lot, like, we still don't, I mean, he does come out and say why he left Starfleet, which was he felt it wasn't Starfleet anymore.
Because it wasn't Starfleet anymore.
Yeah, like, sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you speak up a little bit? But, yeah, it's him basically saying, you know, they just decide not to help anymore. And I'm sure the actual decision was a little more complicated than that, but, yeah, and he stepped down from, I guess he was an admiral at that point. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
So he had to throw a lot of pips down at that point.
Well, that's why they put him in bars at that point. It's just two.
So I think there's actually something, there's a lot here, of course, because they it's a big exposition dump. But one of the things that I wanted to bring up was the fact that he commanded the E until this rescue mission.
Right.
That's what we learned from this. So he
to run the armada, the rescue armada.
To run the armada, right? Which apparently never left. It never left Mars.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have a flashback, presumably, to that attack. I would assume because it seems pretty pivotal to the
you
events
saw
that
it in Children of Mars, Daniel. What more do you want?
From Earth, that doesn't count.
But yeah, so we have the, you know, they talk about the rescue armada was wiped out by a group of rogue synthetics. Who destroyed the Utopia Planitia fleet yard, killing around 92,000 residents and ignited the stratosphere, which still burns. So basically Mars is uninhabitable again. And
on a good day, you can see burning Mars or, you know,
jeez. Oh, Mars is a little redder now. Is that what you're saying?
Like flames.
Oh God.
but she also talks about Data. And again, the whole show started with a shot of Data, and, you know, he has just such unwavering faith in his friend, and we can kind of see the groundwork of where this show is going to go. You know, synthetics are obviously very important. This this choice that Picard made in the past is very important. I love that he, talked about the evacuation being similar to a Dunkirk feel,
yes,
which people actually know because we just had a movie about that a couple years ago. But yeah, I can it kind of put it in context. You're like, oh yeah, it was a big deal. But yeah, there's, yeah, and then he just storms out and he's like, this interview's over. You know, he's very, she pushed, during, but she pushed a little much.
During the interview, he feels the most Picardiest.
Yes.
I think of the episode. And I'm sure it was written that way, obviously, but it's,
I feel we got pushed into a corner Picard, and then later we're going to get like sympathetic Picard in other scenes. But I agree with you, Daniel. Like, but like one of the two sides we know of our captain, Admiral, I mean, civilian, whatever we're calling him now.
I want, and this a minor complaint, because like I said, I love this episode, or yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. To me, lazy writing is Starfleet admirals are bad, the Federation is bad, and the media is bad. Like, tell me a last time you've seen where the reporter was good and the media was respected. I mean, like, it's a, you know, and we can.
You're not wrong.
It's a separate podcast about.
Clark Kent.
Exactly. Yeah. Clark Kent. Yeah. Well, did you see the latest Supermans? Anyway, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's just an aside.
You brought it up, Daniel.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we can obviously, talking media is a whole other podcast, but I'm just saying, every time, really, every time they're always bad, you know, so I just always think it's a little cynical, but anyway, that was just my little.
So now we're back at Chateau Picard. And he's sitting with his dog. He quotes Shakespeare to him, saying, "No legacy is so rich as honesty," which is such a Picard thing to say.
And the dog is like, "Roof."
Yeah.
The dog is great, by the way.
Okay. The dog is great. Which,
love the dog.
Which was a rescue, as we've been told.
And the dog is trilingual, speaks dog.
That's right.
English and French.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He just says, don't pretend you don't know French. And that's when Dodge arrives. And we start just get this great moment where he's like trying to piece things together, and you know, he's holding her hands and he's basically like, he takes it really, I mean, this scene, if this scene was underacted, I think it would have really hurt the episode, but I feel that Patrick just carries it in the way he's empathizing, the way he's, you know, I mean, he's dealt with weird stuff for decades, so this is not out of his wheelhouse, but he handles it really well and, you know, starts on this new journey.
Yeah, I mean, he could be worried it's one of those fans that keep coming through the gate, and no autographs, please. But I... Sorry, I'm going to keep doing it. Unlike some shows, Picard, which is very... Legacy Trek. Well, by that I mean TNG through Enterprise, where you take a mystery at face value. You don't have to go through the whole like, are you hallucinating? Do we need to take you to sick? It's like, you have this really weird thing you're saying. Okay, well, it's probably true. Let's figure it out together.
That's true.
You know,
it's not it's not a riddle wrapped in an enigma buried at the bottom of a sea.
To be fair, because they have that conversation later, Picard doesn't specifically say that he does believe her. He says he believes that she believes that. She goes through it. But I agree with you, Philip. I totally.
But they move the plot along. They don't spend a whole subplot in figuring out if she's telling the truth. We just keep going.
Right.
He's trusting her.
Yeah,
he
definitely trusts that this is a woman in distress. Yes. That she has some sort of real crisis happening, and he wants to help. Absolutely.
So then we, you know, she's staying at Chateau Picard. We comment on the necklace, which has the two rings on it. And, you know, she's
so bizarre looking. I mean, two rings. I mean, I'd be staring at that thing. Sorry, I saw that on Twitter. And I think I saw it before I saw the episode. I didn't get the reference. And I'm like, oh, I get it.
Well, yeah.
Everybody, like, makes this. They're like, oh, what a remarkable neck. It's literally two circles.
Okay, that's true. In hindsight, it is not.
Diagram.
It's not that very.
We have seen this 1,000 times. This is not interesting.
Maybe her initials
would have been funny if he was like, oh wow, I too am a fan of the Venn diagram.
But everybody's acting like it's the most interesting thing they've ever seen. The most boring thing
I've ever seen. Look, the plot requires we draw attention to the Venn diagram on her neck. Okay, I just
Yeah. I mean, even Romulans are like, that's a weird necklace, you other person.
I've never thought to put one circle
okay.
neck in.
Moving on from the Venn diagram necklace.
Especially if you're Romulan, I would think the twin planets of Romulus and Remus would be, but anyway.
So, you know, she's commenting on, has he ever been a stranger outside of himself? He's like, many, many times. And
very poetic. Albert Camus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
Borg reference, also a reference to the Holodeck Adventures, also a reference
yep.
to Inner Light.
Yep.
Times Squared, when there was another one of them, you know?
Yeah, all yeah. good things.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
yes.
why he said many, many times.
But yeah, but he, this really is cementing his trust in her. And then she touches a necklace that she left on the table. So, because, you know, it's really important. It's like Spock's shuttle, guys. It's really important. The necklace is where we're going. So he has another dream. I don't think we even see the dream. Oh, no, we do. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
Painting.
This is the painting dream.
This is the painting one.
So we get Picard, who's in his next-gen uniform. And we have Data in his next-gen uniform. And he's painting a woman, but she has no face yet. And basically at the end, when he wakes up, he looks at the picture in his study and it looks just like Dodge. Dun, dun, dun. But she's left.
Like all people who
of visit. Course she's left. Yes.
Yeah. She didn't like the wine.
So, but then, okay.
I just want to say quickly,
go ahead.
Both with Picard and Data within the TNG uniforms. One, mm-hmm. even when I started the episode, and this is going to sound weird, I didn't know if it would seem like Jean-Luc Picard again, because obviously not only has Patrick Stewart aged, he's also played several characters between now and then. So in other words, like,
true.
Are you going to see Professor X when you see him? Or, you
right.
know, because of how
nope.
he looks now. Well, and also, it took yeah. me a little second, because obviously his voice is a little slower. I mean, he's an older gentleman now than he was since we last saw him. And so I was trying to, you know, and so I eventually got there, but it did take me a second to be like, is it just Patrick Stewart pretending to be Picard, or is it Jean-Luc? And then with Data, you know, we don't need to talk about it at all, but as far as the appearance, I'm like, yeah, there's some things off, but I buy it. It's fine.
I mean,
they did a
pretty good job.
Yeah.
But short of completely CG replacing his head, which I think would have been ridiculous, like,
yeah.
he's going to look different.
But enough about B4. We'll talk about that.
Hey, we'll get there. We'll
all right,
get
so,
there.
Okay, guys. One of the most Star Trek and fun scenes. We go to the Starfleet archive, and we go to his quantum archive, which is I thought it was the coolest thing. He goes into this little room, and it's like everything's all locked away and stored in pattern buffer memory, and it's very Star Trek. I loved it.
There's two things about this, and the first thing
is the
idea
room
of
Picard
like...
requirement. Okay.
There's the room and that like preservation method is super awesome and really cool and super neat and awesome. Yeah. And then the other part of it is you said that they weren't going to push the nostalgia button too hard.
Okay. Wait, this is what
Captain
they saved
Picard,
it for, this scene.
Captain Picard has a whole room full of his
yes.
toys that he gets to keep in suspended animation.
Yes.
He has like 12 models in there, guys. He's worse than we are.
So we had
did the
like
Captain
this...
Jot really mean that much to him? Because he has a whole model for it.
The events of Insurrection were pretty big deal. So, and the Captain Picard Day poster, which was, I think, the best notch. And yeah, no, just it just felt slick. Like it felt like Star Trek. It felt like future Star Trek. Like more time and technology has progressed, but it didn't feel like we're going way into the future. It's like, no, okay, I could buy this. You know, I could buy that eventually they're going to, for top brass, you know, or whatever you are in the chain, like, eventually they're not going to have enough room to store all this stuff. So the quantum archives made a lot of sense. And you had the holographic...
Interface,
you know.
Index.
Yeah, it had a very Jedi Archives kind of look, you know, with the glowy book stacks, quote unquote. But
it did confuse me for a second because she said program. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought synthetics were outlawed. Maybe they just have them privately
and then
for private
use. And then she flickers away.
This is a hologram.
Yeah.
I assume this is a hologram.
It is.
But I don't
know.
No, she
is.
Was a hologram. Right. She disappears.
After the...
Right.
So.
Yeah. Privacy shield.
So... but then she comes right back in as soon as she's called. So.
Well,
actually, this is the 25th
century.
She's
the librarian, basically.
Well, she's the 25th century Janet.
Yeah. Or she's Alexa version 8.0 or something. But But yeah, but that was a
cool. So what did we see? Okay. Hang on, we need to talk about what
yes,
we saw.
Well, we saw the Enterprise E, the Stargazer,
yep.
The captain's
the
yacht.
The D was there as well. The D was on the wall, the back wall way up
the
there.
The captain's yacht,
for some reason. The Captain Picard day, the Bat'leth.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, the Bat'leth was there. I want to pull it up now.
Now, did we see the painting? From his
That was holographically brought up.
Oh, that painting. I don't know.
Yeah. No, sorry. Yeah, not the painting that's plot driven, but the painting from his ready. Because there was stuff, but it wasn't like the Room of Requirement, like where it was jam packed. Yeah. It was very organized.
It felt a little jammy.
Dodger. Yeah, I guess I could. It makes sense with the fact that other items are just stored, you know, deeper in, you know. But
I'm pulling up the scene right now, and I'm
watching it all. I noticed when I was watching the ready room, because I'm sure they saw and what they showed in that. Probably didn't see all that in the actual show, just because of. You know, you can't see everything.
Oh, yeah.
But they had an award from the Children of Tama to him. Then they had from Beta Zed.
They had a traveling exhibit.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of these items at that exhibit. Because I remember they had the awards and stuff. So that makes sense that they just kind of boxed that up. Yeah, the uniform.
Which I didn't see in the episode.
Do you know what we didn't see?
You bring up the goldfish?
Livingston.
Why would Livingston be in the quantum?
Because he could live
that's
forever.
So dumb. No,
a holographic no fish.
Jeez.
I was thinking the flute and the
Well, I feel like the flute would be.
The chair. Yeah, I know you're talking.
I feel like those would be in his home. Like he doesn't file those away in the quantum archive. Those are super special.
And his manservant. I'm sure this is the wrong name for him, but probably does the fingers on the flute for him while he blows into it. So
jeez. No, I would assume those would be at his home. I understand what you're saying, Daniel. We do not see them, but I feel like that has a special.
I wonder because
this is his use store storage locker, where you put in your access code and you got your extra stuff.
Well, in some ways, I wonder because I only watched episode once. Maybe from a psychological perspective, all his Starfleet stuff is in there. Like, maybe he doesn't bring any of his stuff
it's
into Chateau.
It was like a military feel.
Because he's
like,
left it all behind. You know,
it's his footlocker. It's basically his footlocker from his time in the service.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
So he pulls out the painting, and he summons the index, and she reaffirms that no one's entered the archive or even seen the painting since he last put it in there, and it shows that Data painted it several years ago in 2369, and he gave it to Picard during his service on the Enterprise D.
Index.
The title.
Do you recall the title of this painting?
Yes.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, boy. Before we get to
that
twist.
If you didn't
know
before, the title pretty much cements it.
We need to talk about that title because it's very important. But I want to mention, I looked this up, 2369 is season 6 of TNG.
Which makes sense that he painted it on the Enterprise D.
When I first watched this episode, and this is maybe just me, I was confused. I'm like, wait a minute, are they suggesting that Data created a daughter in the 6th season of TNG?
That's what I was.
No, see, I didn't get that at all.
No, I got
the fact that Data created a
painting.
Vision of a daughter.
Right. No,
but
I picked up on it the second time.
Build her.
Oh yeah,
right.
That was sort of the mystery, and then the mystery still isn't solved about. Well, it kind of is. Okay, sorry, I don't mean to skip ahead, but like where you have to have a piece of Data, and I'm like, well, he got exploded in Romulan space, and there's Romulans involved, so there's probably Data bits were floating around in the Romulan space, so it's not a far off stretch. But anyway, that's
the name of the painting is Daughter.
Don't
and
call
dun, dun,
me
dun.
Daughter.
Commercial break was right here. Yeah. That's it.
I was thinking this is where, I mean, you know, we know, but at the time I was thinking like, did they recast Lol? Is that?
Oh, we need to talk about the Lol problem because the episode doesn't address it at all. And it bothers me. Maybe they will.
Well, no, it does. But Picard says he had attempted to make a daughter. He remembers that.
He never says
that.
Well,
he said something. He said something like that. Like
something like that when he's at the Daystrom Institute.
It's a daughter. He says something like, oh, it would be. It's very subtle.
No, I watched this episode twice, once yesterday and once today. And I watched for it because it bothered me, especially the when he talks to Dodge about it and he's explaining to her blah, 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 very dear to me, blah, 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 blah. And they're talking about daughters and stuff. And I'm like, okay, he had one. He had one for a while. Why are we,
I felt he said something along those lines when he was at the Daystrom Institute, but I'll have to watch it again.
Remember. Yeah.
To re-remember.
Well, yeah, I was wanting like another one, and I was just, that's all you needed. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, or even like a quick little, you know, he attempted it and it didn't work or whatever. But it's like, so, I assume maybe they're holding it and they'll talk about it later. I don't know.
Well, we have another end. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, we don't know. It's only the first episode, but I'm interested that they, once this is revealed and it's in your head, and even, I don't know the name of the actress who played Law, they all look different, but they all have the same coloring as Data. Both Law and Dodge, you know, it's like when you're doing the casting, we're like, did you kind of look like Data, you know? And it's interesting because in reality, of course, you can build the android to look however you want to look like, you know? I don't know what, you don't really have to make it form, follows, function or anything. But I just thought that was interesting that from a visual standpoint, they're like, we want her to look kind of like Brett.
Well, you could even see Dodge being Law.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, I watched The Offspring last night.
She Law 2.0? I mean, is that?
Well, whatever. They could write it in some sort of fashion or way. Or even like Law 2.0.
She's Leda. Obviously... And Law is Lore. Never mind.
Jeez, oh, gosh.
I get it. We didn't mention Lore either. We got B4
okay,
references.
There's one episode, Daniel. We got time. Okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
Did they
say
the word soon?
No. I there was one moment where
I think she said android like Data or something like that.
Yeah, but, yeah. Anyway.
Or Data type.
When they're talking, we'll get to that scene.
Okay, so we're right at the beginning of the third act. Now it gets another wrinkle because Dodge is on the run and she's talking with her mother, but then her mother's all like, go back to Picard. And she's like, I didn't mention Picard. And like, what? Okay, what's going on here? Because obviously, if she is a creation of... If she was a cybernetic creation and then was
a
pseudo-adopted
by android,
because that's true. I mean, skipping a little bit ahead, they do kind of establish that they think that Maddox made her.
I assume her parents are just placeholders,
right?
Picard suggests that all of her memories are implanted, and I assume that her parents know what she is,
right?
What her and her sister are. And are they work for Maddox or they're close to Maddox in some form or fashion?
It was a very Judge Dredd?
Judy.
No, in Judge Dredd, it's established that I think I'm thinking of the right movie. In Judge Dredd, that he didn't actually he was cloned, he wasn't. And he had no memories, and
the Carl Urban Judge Dredd, who also plays Leonard McCoy,
the Stallone one.
I am the Law.
Yep, he is the Law. So
I have a quick question. Weird, because this confused it. I mean, I was confused, but I'm like, whatever, I'm with it. So the second version, I don't know her name, says that she has a sister, but does Dodge say she have a sister? And I just thought maybe it's two different memories.
Does.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Was she
with the father?
I was also confused about this, and I watched for this on my second watch through. Because I'm like, wait a minute. Is Dodge not aware that she has a sister and that's why she didn't mention her? I think she just doesn't mention her.
Yeah, I think. Well, the sister's name's Soji.
Well, I just assume if you're accused of being a synthetic, you're like, but I have a twin.
You would think that's the first thing she would say, yes. But I assume that's just an oversight.
Although
by
apparently
the
when you make synthetics, you make them as twins. So that would be the worst thing to say if you're pretending not to be a synthetic.
Right, yeah. I just assume that it's just kind of a we'll learn later. Picard will have to tell the new one that the old one died. Sorry, you don't have a four-ring necklace.
And it's also... Oh, jeez.
She should know
that as she's...
The necklace automatically will go down to one circle once she dies.
Jeez. Well, also, I noticed in this scene, because remember, this is the scene immediately after we get the title daughter, is she's running that interface like Data. Like when she's searching for Picard, it's very androidish. So
it's a cool thing too. I guess that's like a personal computer, I guess is what's happening.
Yeah, it's just a little, which is cool. Like that holographic technology, and you know, it's fitting. It's not crazy, but it's, you know. So then she meets with Picard again, walking just out of the archives, and they chat a bit. He basically, like we said before, he believes that she is a daughter of Data, but it's, again, the House of Data. It doesn't sound like he thinks that Data made her, but just that she is somehow connected in that way.
Well, and there's also a whole, I mean, this is a whole separate issue, so I don't mean to open the skin of worms, but the whole of synthetics and Data and the ban and the view of what, because in her identity, she's young. And so she's only grown up in a post 9/11 and in a post synthetic ban world where she, again,
kind of like Bashir in Genetic Modification.
Yeah. That they only see them one way, and like they don't know who Data is,
right?
They don't know that Android,
the good android,
yeah.
And that's a great line that Picard has when he says, "Well, the word synthetic conjures up a lot of
He images, jumps right into it, yeah.
Just leave that behind," he says. "Just that not everything is negative. Not everything they're not all terrible."
Yeah,
basically.
And she's like, "Data was," and he just praises Data, and we're all like, "Yep, that was Data. You know, Data was great." So then we shift into action scene number two for this episode. And basically, she realizes that they're coming somehow. She knows.
Spidey sense.
Her android sense is tingling. And
I like that Picard's old and he can't run up.
Yeah, it's just true.
I love that sort of reality of that.
Yeah. And she goes full on android mode and just kicks their butts again. But in the end, we discover that they're Romulans.
Romulans.
I was kind of surprised she didn't take off the helmets in the beginning, because that would have been helpful to know. But
well, they speak Romulan in that first scene.
True.
And then one of them goes, speak one English. Of them says, speak English
right.
or something.
Which,
they spoke something, but I couldn't tell what they were speaking.
Which,
right.
I have a problem with it being English. Cause
yeah, well, I know.
Yeah, Federation standard. But go ahead.
Yeah. And so
it's a new audience. We're using generic terms.
He bites down on something and kind of explodes over like a acid thing on Daj, and it is really effective and blows her up.
Super.
I'll admit that part confused me on several levels. You know, the first level was, what did he spit on her? Because first I thought like he was.
It's kind of like a suicide. Like he didn't want to be
capsule.
Yeah,
yeah, but it was like a capsule.
Because first I thought he was bleeding, and then he's it's green blood.
Yeah, first I thought
I want you
was
to
bleeding.
See it's Romulan. And then he spits the blood on her, and then she explodes. I'm like, well, that's not a good reaction to blood. Second, even if it was you're right. I'm not saying so. If it is what you say, still, what is spitting it on her?
Well,
explode
I get
her?
The feeling that it was a combination thing to take himself out, but also specifically made to take out synthetics.
No. So this,
or,
I was also confused.
There's
by
a part
this.
Four. Was did Picard say? Go ahead, Dane. I think you're about to say.
No. There was. It's very unclear. It's because he spits at her and she starts freaking out, and then she explodes.
Like, well, she melts and then explodes. But yeah.
Right. So the melting comes from the acid that didn't kill her. The Romulan blaster, I guess whatever it was, actually overloaded.
Oh, that's
is that what happened?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's damaged and it falls at her feet, and then it overcharges. That's right. So the blood actually was also. Oh wait, sorry. I see. So it's not anything to do with androids. It's the fact that it was an acid capsule he swallowed or whatever, and he spits it on her because he hates her, and she starts to dissolve. But then the explosion of the blaster kills her. That's right. That's
and then
right.
my fourth level problem I had, I'm like, what? This was the character.
Yeah,
I thought this, what?
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was also like and then he wakes up from another dream. Like, is that where we're going?
Well, I'm still
they're
not.
They're pulling some Voyager level bait and switch right there. It's like, we're gonna kill the first officer and the doctor and strand them, and it's just all gonna go to hell.
I'm still not convinced she's dead, Because right after that, when they wake Picard up, they have a talk about how, oh, we didn't see her on them things, yeah. and she has a cloaking device all of a sudden, I guess. And then
it made me think of the. If you ever watched Standalone Complex, Ghost in the Shell, it's like a techno future, yeah, anime. But there's like a hacker that's super advanced and basically hacks the system so any camera that's on him, it shows like a logo over his face. So it's impossible for him to be recorded. So it kind of had me think of like that. Like, not that she had a cloaking, but that she was somehow tied into the security so that she didn't appear. But they kind of glossed through that really quickly.
But I think that from a narrative structure, they kill her off, and you're like, I was watching that. But then, like, quickly at the end,
and then the credits start rolling, and you're like, well.
But then quickly at the end, they're like, no, don't worry, there's a twin, it's fine, you're gonna go, she's still, you can watch this one. I'm like, okay, I mean, it's still,
we'll get to the twin.
They have a whole Empire Strike Back scene where they say, no, there isn't.
Yes. All right, we'll get there. So he wakes up, he's back with his friends. And this was a great scene too, where he starts to really be like, I haven't been living, I've been waiting to die, and he's got purpose now, and he's got a drive. And like you were saying in the beginning, Philip, when in the dream he kind of doubles down and goes all in, we kind of get that in this scene where he's Captain Picard maneuver tucking in his shirt. Like, he's, ready to go off. Or it's kind of like The Hobbit. He's like, I'm on an adventure. And now he's, something exciting's happening to him.
Well, I'm glad they rewrote it, because originally in the script, it was going to be a Dodge holding out his phaser that she found and then holding it out to him. And then that was how the credits were going to roll, with him, her just holding the phaser out.
And then the next episode, he tosses it over his shoulder. Yeah.
It was his combat.
So he goes to,
or all of his pips,
to the Daystrom Institute, and we meet Dr.
New
Agnes
character
Girardi, which I'm glad is a main, because I loved her. She was a great character. She goes into the ghost town of a division of advanced research.
They should have had the tumbleweed
research
going through.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what the modern comparison would be, but basically, yeah, we're outlawed, so there's not a lot of people there.
It would have been funny if she had said, man, my new intern was supposed to show up today, but I don't know where she is.
So they open up and they see B4 there, and we get a lot of backlog story in this scene.
Okay, I want to talk about this, because we had an episode a few weeks back where we talked about our predictions for Star Trek Picard, and one of the things that we mentioned was, how are they going to handle the Data B4 situation?
Right, because they have to. And it's literally the last thing that happened in the timeline.
And I think this is the best thing they could have done, where they just said, hey, B4 sucked.
Right.
He didn't work, and we just stuck him in a drawer.
Like, he didn't work just as didn't a work. Story or as a mechanic? And she's like, both.
That doesn't
both.
Matter.
A
little bit of both.
Stuck him in a drawer.
And it also gives a little more weight to Data's death. Data is dead. Data is gone. And the way we talk about Data this whole episode, like, it really reaffirms that and underscores it. And we already had this Data size insert for our drawer, so we just might as well not loot waste it and put B4 in there. So she's obviously the expert on synthetics, which is cool. It's going to be probably very important.
I did get but just trying not to get too many, especially when you started the conversation, is it possible to do a flesh and blood synthetic? I just kept hearing the Battlestar Galactica theme going in my head.
Yeah, it's true.
It She's like, well, we tried to make a couple models. There are six.
But she was recruited by Bruce Maddox, hey, a next gen name drop. We all saw that. And she basically says that, Data was still really special. That a Soon type android is very difficult to create, and they were close. And then all the synthetics go off the rail. So maybe they weren't close. Maybe they were already there, because obviously there were synthetics out in the world that weren't fully sentient.
I have so many thoughts.
Yeah, we don't know. But go ahead.
Real quick.
I mean, obviously, and she said they came from there.
Yeah.
That all the synthetics that attacked Mars came from the Daystrom Institute.
So
tarnishing its name irrevocably.
So here we go. The synthetics that have been created, we assume, first of all, Maddox is awesome. What a great callback.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's cool that this character has worked with Maddox.
Yeah. We don't know where he is.
And we don't know where he is. That's going to come back, of course. Yes. We assume Maddox.
I know. We're going to look up the actor and be like, is he still available? What's
his
IMDb?
Do we meet Maddox before we meet Pribe Lorca? I think so. But,
So my thought immediately went to Section 31 is going to be doing this.
They have their own show.
At all. I didn't think about them at all during those.
I tried to forget about
them.
I didn't constantly.
But,
I honestly hope it's not, because I don't want them to be the cloak and dagger foil for everything that goes wrong in the
Blank show.
Because that's a little much.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I'm with you.
I want it to.
I don't want it to be.
Yeah.
I just suspect.
So
that
let's
it
not
is.
Talk about it, Daniel. Let's just keep going.
Daniel, but, it seems like you know too much. Maybe, Daniel, could you come back to this podcast on my day off?
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Did say that, you know, with Data's neural net lost, you know, you would have to make it basically without Data as like a template or whatever. It made their job much harder, is what it sounds like. Like him dying was a huge blow. And yeah, but then they also talk about that they make him in pairs, and he recognizes the necklace, and the Data always
two circles. Where have I seen two circles?
So yeah,
before?
So he does comment that Data always wanted a daughter. I think that's as much as we get of Lal.
I also think it's other. I don't.
You can't always want something that you all have already had.
He wanted a successful daughter. Oh, too low.
But I there,
and there, so but yeah, so then Picard is like, oh, there's another one.
Yeah, I wish I could give credit, but I just saw it on Twitter. It was very on brand. Someone was like, so Maddox disappears, no one hears from him, and he makes two androids. That's very on brand. I was like, yeah.
That's basically what's the new Soon. He's like, okay, if I want to make a Data, I have to go full crazy Soon.
That's right.
Lock myself away on a planet and make two, a good and an evil. And, you know.
Okay. So this is also the point where we need to talk about lore a little bit, I think, because they're placing Data on this crazy high pedestal. He's the only one that could achieve sentience.
But lore did as well.
But
right.
They still have lore.
And lore is still alive. Lore is out there with the Borg.
No.
He was dismantled at the end of Descent.
Right. Sorry.
So they, but
sorry,
they yeah, still sorry. Have lore. Right. Where'd his parts go?
But they still have him. Right. They still have him.
Well, do you want to make a copy off of the Data copy or the crazy brother copies? I mean, just putting it out there.
But
you're
fair,
right. Lore is still in the equation.
Lore would have been fixed if he had enough hugs from Soon. So it's not.
If he'd been told, just told him he loved him once in a while.
Just a little chip goes right in there, and then, oh, hugs.
I'd forgotten they dismantled him. You know.
So did they, so it's all right, Daniel.
But, yeah, no, but like Philip said, he is he's in play. He's not unknown or lost or destroyed. So now we get the teaser trailer end, and we are on a Romulan transport that docks at the Romulan Reclamation Site, which is apparently, I was confused if it was built out of the wreckage of a Borg ship or if it was building a Borg ship from scratch and it wasn't done yet.
I got
more of the Part B sense, honestly.
Really? No. Like, why would they build a Borg?
Because
that seems crazy to me.
Because of the volume. Because of the space it has.
Well, I mean, you could build a big ship. It doesn't have to be a Borg cube. I think I did not get that sense at all. I think it's a Borg. It's a reclamation. They're reclaiming the Borg cube. And there's all those alcoves, and then he talks to her about you fix broken people.
They wouldn't make all of that. Okay, I think you're right. Okay, so it's a damaged Borg ship that's being reclaimed, and we see, I'm assuming the main villain, Narek, because he was all in black and emo
smoke, and red lights,
and he had the red lightsaber.
Yeah. He walked over to Dr. Asha, who is Soji, and she looks exactly like Daj. and he introduces himself, and like you said, they talk about broken people, and she says that the necklace, because I gotta look at the freaking Venn diagram necklace, was made by her father to match with the one of her twin sister, and and then Narek talks about his brother, not a twin, deceased unexpectedly as of last year. So I'm wondering who his brother is. That could be interesting.
Brother?
But
brother? You don't have a brother. You never mentioned you had a brother.
So obviously, I mean, he's going to be a big player, and I'm pretty sure he's the villain, as much as there is one. So yeah, we've said, we haven't even met our crew. We haven't even met a lot of key players, and we saw a little teaser for next week, in which it sounds like they're getting the crew and the full mission. But honestly, it was also interesting because I mean, we've barely spent any time with her, but I like Dodge way better than Soji.
Like, I know, that's what I was like.
Way more interesting character. So this one feels like, I don't know, it's just...
Well, she seems older, and yet...
She does seem older, yeah. I don't know.
Is it because she has a job, Philip?
Yeah, one is
she's
just
a doctor.
One just got an internship, and the other's like...
She's whatever. A doctor. She's Dr. Asha. And...
Maybe Raj took a gap year.
Well, and looking at all the Romulan ships underneath that Borg cube, like, obviously this is like their new home base after the destruction of Romulus.
So I thought those were mines.
I think they're both
ships.
Well, because when you first see the opening it's ships. When it's panning out at the end, I thought they were mines too. Because maybe this is my Romulan stereotyping. When I first saw, you know, Romulan reclamation thing, I thought it was very nefarious. Like, that this isn't, like, good thing.
I felt like it was giving him something to do.
Well, see, and maybe you're right, but I didn't. And that's why I wondered why she was there. Because I'm like, this whole thing's sketchy. What's she doing there? Because then I thought, because I was, you know, mansplaining to my wife, as one does, that about 2009, how they never, in the movie, say... that Nero has Borg technology on his ship. We've sort of added that in the comics and everything. But therefore, there has to be some sort of storyline about Romulans using Borg technology, which is why these Romulans are using a Borg ship. And so... But,
you're right. They're not ships. They look like daggers. So I'm guessing they're either, like you said, mines, or there's some sort of like torpedo or basically an arsenal.
It's such a weird scene because it feels like it's really, really heavily implying something, but it's so...
The Borg ship is not yet functional. Like,
fully operational.
Like you mentioned.
We will destroy the Federation with one swift stroke.
You definitely get the sense from the music and how it's played and shown that it's foreboding and dangerous. But then there's a human on the ship that's there to help people. And it sounds like they're just, I assume, salvaging the ship and waking up Borg people and trying to essentially...
And I think we're
going to
get a lot more of that when we... I mean, Hugh and Seven are major players. And
right.
They're...
Daniel, not Borg people. People.
Well, and I'm watching the scene again. And the way that they adjust and aim the camera when the first ship flies in... I mean, yeah, any one of us looking at the background of this
that was Borg ship.
Texture, we know it's a Borg, but they don't see the cube until the very end when they pull out. And you see, and again, like when you're pulling out of them standing on the catwalk and they're talking, you get that same feel from like First Contact and
Voyager.
You know, Best of Both Worlds and Voyager, like that whole like just immenseness of a Borg cube. And you know, actually looking at the texture on the Warbirds, it's like they were probably made out of Borg cube remnants, you know, like it's obviously a Romulan design, but I mean there's thousands of ships flying around in this cube, like it's massive. So they're definitely reclaiming it, but I also get the sense that they are, you know, this is the majority of the Romulan people are on this station. I would not be surprised.
Yeah, we've just got to we just don't
scratch
have
the surface
on,
yeah.
So
Need input. Okay, well, that was a fun play-by-play on the first episode of Star Trek Picard titled Remembrance. Totally not looking that up. But so, yeah, well, I think, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited for more. You know, I can wait a week or at this point a couple days. But I'm excited for us to get into space and to get going and unravel this story. And one of the things I told Philip before we started recording was I like how there's still mystery, but we're given answers as we go. Like, I feel some TV goes too far in the mystery box, you know, where, like, they wouldn't reveal that, I almost said that, that Dodge was a, you know, Data's android. Daughter, quote-unquote android, until, like, the end of the season. And I'm like, no, we don't need to have that mystery over us for 5 episodes. You know, learning that answer in the first episode was fine. And I
it's
like
about leaving clues. Humans love mysteries.
There's plenty of other stuff we don't know.
Compared to, like, Discovery Season 2.
This
where
is Daniel doing it,
it's
not me.
It's starting from the bottom instead of the top, where in Discovery it was like, there's these 7 lights. What do they mean? I don't know. We'll figure it out in episode 10, maybe. Who knows? But it's like, here it's like, we only have one small mystery. What is this? Like, who is
who
Dodge?
Who is Dodge, And now we kind of know, but now the question is, who is her sister? That's the second question. So
where did they come
from? Yeah, so I'm excited, and I hope we see Maddox maybe season 2, maybe something like that. But I think it'll be – I'm excited for more Picard. Oh, and we do have, if you want, the episode titles for episode 2 and 3. Episode 2 is Maps and Legends, and episode 3 is The End is the Beginning. Well, that sounds like a very Discovery title. Yeah. So, but I'm very excited. What end thoughts, Philip, going into next week?
Well, I like the – well, I like and don't like, of course. That's how it always goes. The premise of Picard, the person, and Picard, the show. We'll have to figure out how to differentiate those.
One's a capital D and a P, and one's a lowercase p.
Which is which, though? But anyway, that, you know, there was – Jean-Luc had to – well, I don't know if he had to, but there was the Romulan rescue fleet that he – organized. I don't mean it was already going to happen, right? But that he was pushing for,
he took charge of.
Yeah, so that was good, right? And then the synthetic attack happened, and then people were, because that's why I don't like this media person, because I don't know how much is supposed to be the show media bias, because media is evil, or what's, like, real. But in other words, this whole, like, because, you know, and I'm surprised, Daniel, your hackles weren't raised at this line. What are we going to do with our few resources, and why are we going to have to, you know, I'm like, you mean all the resources in the world? What resources are you talking about?
Oh, when he said that they, like, hunkered down and withdrew from helping them.
I was like, yeah. I mean, if you meant we lost our fleet and
ran out of time.
Ships. I mean, yeah, but when you say resources, it's like, we don't have enough oil to, you know, I mean, like, you know, I don't know, you do.
You gotta drill Alaska to build those spaceships.
But anyway, in other words, that the Federation is not acting very Federation-y, which, of course, is often the Picardian conflict, but anyway, which is bad, because I don't like that to be, but it's good, because obviously Picard used to do his thing, so anyway. But it'll be interesting on if so, because we haven't seen, you know, the tease we know of him visiting Starfleet. You know, what is this Federation like? What is this Starfleet like? Because we haven't seen anyone really from Starfleet in this episode that I think of.
That's true. We haven't. No. Just the Federation News Service. So maybe, if that had been Jake Sisko in the Federation News Service.
He would have been fair.
That would have been great, man. That would have been fantastic.
Okay, so Daniel, final thoughts on episode 1 of Picard?
Yeah, like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm more confused. Not like because of the plot or anything, but I'm just I'm not sure where we're going with this. I'm a little trepidatious about the idea that we kind of briefly touched on it, that synths are going to be a thing. Like, flesh, like when she's like, Picard's like, can you make a flesh and blood synth? why would you do that? Why would you make them? They're already better. Why would you make them worse intentionally? And like, and I got worried.
Well, but she's a flesh and blood synth and is better.
She's slightly better, but she's more vulnerable. If she had robot skin, she probably could have survived all that stuff.
She kicks all their butts. Like, she'd leap
like
50 feet.
She still died.
Well, you
like,
put
in
a synth
first...
next to an exploding phaser, and it's
Data still dies.
I'm just saying, compared to like if you put a regular synth and one that has
her plot
why would
armor
you give it...
couldn't save her. Okay,
what's the point of putting flesh and blood on a synth?
Yeah,
why?
No, I know.
Well, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Daniel,
to better interact with society.
Did you not see First Contact? Daniel or Data can tell you about the temptations of the flesh.
But my point was, because you mentioned it, Philip. I was worried that we may be going too much into a Battlestar situation. There's a lot of sci-fi that's dealt with this idea of what if we can just create robots that look exactly like humans? And I don't want Star Trek to become about that specifically. There's just enough of that.
I still think we're going to get a lot with the Romulans. I think they have a major part to play in the Borg.
Yeah, and that's what's going to be interesting, I think, is I'm looking forward to how the Borg and the synths kind of match up. How does that work? Because obviously that's two coins, two sides of the same coin, it feels like.
Is this an amalgamation?
Dimensional coin.
Is this an amalgamation of every TNG movie? You have Romulans,
kinda is.
Borg, you have the insurrectional sort of moral tale. I don't know how we're bringing in generations yet, but look out. So
Kirk's coming.
Well, Guinan's coming back. So,
oh, that's right, season two. Oh, yeah.
So good. Well, yeah. No, I think I agree with you though, Daniel. Like, we need more information. And
the generations part is time is a fire. It's aging. It's olding.
Gosh.
It's rediscovering your purpose of being the captain of the ship and all that. Sorry.
What if the Nexus comes back?
That's going to be when
how many years
he goes out
we know.
To
how many years
the cabin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
The cabin with Riker, and he's just splitting wood, and it's like...
Wait, what is it? Maybe y'all
I was
know.
Here, and then he just walked up, Picard.
What is it with... Y'all maybe know, because you have, like, animals more. What is it with retired captains getting dogs?
Well, I mean, Archer had a dog.
Time.
Kirk?
He wasn't even retired.
Butler!
Janeway had a dog when she was a captain, but she left it behind.
Yeah.
I guess captains just aren't cat people, I guess.
No.
Maybe the Cations
the
didn't
have
like
dogs.
That. That's probably why, you know.
Cations,
you keep our ancestors.
We had to
as,
let all our cats
you
go.
You keep our ancestors as your pets. We will not be a part of this Federation. unless you release the muse. All right. Well, we're all very excited for Picard episode 2. Obviously, we're in a season now where we're going to be talking about this a lot every week. Here on City Alpha 3, but don't worry, we'll have more fun Star Trek content. It's only, 15 weeks, 10 weeks, something like that. 10 weeks. So we will continue to share our views, and it's going to be interesting. It'll be a fun ride. I think we've been waiting for this one a long time. So Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you about the releasing of the great cat migration, where would they find you?
Did they sing songs of that?
The great kitty hunt.
Hey, brand new Star Trek. We didn't see a single damn Klingon. Not one. So they can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That is the number one, as in the dog, of course. Not the word.
Well, I think Romulans are the new Klingons.
Let's hope so. We can hope.
And Philip, if someone wanted to talk to you about the quadruplets that you're building, you know, to take over the space yard, something like that. Children of Mars is what I'm saying.
Well, I hear you can program them to be co-hosts. I'm not just saying we can replace people, but if I need to replace two. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at NC Public Servant. That's NC for non-canon dreams.
And if someone wants to find out what I have in my Quantum Archive, they can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, or TikTok under username Dr. Sci-Fi, DrSciFi. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Darren Moser's twin.
Well, we're not doing
leap, that. Leap, lop, lorp, leap.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.